Presence, may your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Do please have a seat. Well, we've all got many decisions to make. You may be thinking about whether you change your job. You may be thinking, should I move flat? Should I begin a romantic relationship? What do I let my children watch? What films should they watch? What parties should they go to? And so on and so on and so on. Many, many decisions, perhaps particularly if we are younger, but even as we get older, maybe as we think about even the end of our lives, think, well, what shall I write in my will? How can I leave things in good order and so on? And today we're thinking about how we can find good guidance to help us with those decisions. Now, the Hebrew word in the Bible, which is used to talk about this guidance, was a word that was derived from their word for rope. And that is because rope was used to navigate a ship. And so, if you like, what we're thinking about is, how can I navigate the ship of my life successfully? How can I be led and plan and be guided to navigate through life successfully? Now, I guess here we may have different approaches to guidance. There may be some of us, it wouldn't really occur to us. We might believe in God, or we do believe in God, but it wouldn't occur to us to pray about a decision, to ask God about which way we should go. We might even look to other things. Horoscopes or tarot cards or palm reading, though I don't think those things are really consistent with Christian faith. At the other extreme, there may be some of us who look for kind of very special signs about every decision. And we're very alert. We look for coincidences and feelings, and for even the kind of the smallest decisions, we think, God, you know, well, what colour socks shall I wear this morning? Maybe looking for a message. I have actually known people who've done that. And looking for messages from God to help us with that. And we may be somewhere in between those two extremes. Well, wherever we are today, I hope we'll be helped as we think about finding guidance in life from the book of Proverbs. So once again, a little outline there, if you find that helpful, which has got all the Proverbs we're looking at on the outline. And the first point is, relax. God is in control. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, the lot was a little stone, which they used in those days, rather as we might use flipping a coin or throwing a dice, something that's totally random, and you might use it, I don't know, who kicks off the football game, who goes into battle first, who inherits the silver. The point is, it's chance. It's not the outcome is not from merit. It's not a particular reward for merit. It's just chance. It's just a way of bringing randomness into the decision. But the proverb says, behind luck is the Lord. Behind what is random is God. He's controlling even the throw of the dice, the flick of the coin. Extraordinary thought, isn't it? The referee at the beginning of a football match flicking the coin. Somehow God is in control even of whether it falls down as heads or tails. Well, of course, the point is, if he's in control of that, he's in control of everything. So he's even in control of our bad decisions. And even when we make less than wise decisions, he's still in control. And for the person who trusts in him, there may be some bad and painful things coming from those decisions, but he'll bring good from them. So I think big picture, relax. God is guiding us, even if we don't know it. He's in control. And that's an important context as we think about guidance. Well, does that mean our decisions don't matter? Well, no, Proverbs doesn't say that. Try hard to make good decisions. So point two, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. And the word diligent there means particularly be diligent in our thinking. and about our decision-making. Think, ponder, try hard to come to the right conclusion. The word haste apparently has a flavour of being impulsive about our decisions. And that will tend to lead to failure. Pull into a lay-by for the moment. Proverbs generalises. So it's not saying this is absolutely always going to be the case, but generally it will be. Sometimes impulsive decisions will make a profit. Sometimes well thought through decisions will lead to bankruptcy, both literally and in a wider sense. But generally that's going to be the way it goes. And so that saying assumes that our thinking and our decision-making matters. It does make a difference, and therefore we should try hard to make good and wise decisions. Now, we need to hold this point in tension with the first. In the myth of Oedipus, classic Greek myth, the Delphic oracle tells Oedipus that he is going to murder his father and marry his mother. And he spends his whole life trying to avoid that fate. But in the end, he murders his father and marries his mother, although he doesn't know it's his mother. So for him, his fate in that myth, his destiny is completely fixed. The Back to the Future films, I don't know if you remember those, big in, 80s, 90s, can't quite remember when, but in those films, the trilogy of films, the scientist Doc Brown helps teenager Marty McFly go back in time. So he can go back in time and change things about his future. And at the end of the films, Doc Brown says to Marty, "Your future is whatever you make it. So make it a good one." That's the opposite extreme to Oedipus, isn't it? And it's very probably very modern, very Western. Your destiny is entirely in your hands. It's whatever you make it. So two contradictory views about destiny. And I suppose what the Christian is trying to do is to hold in tension two views a bit like that. I'm sure there are differences, but we're trying to hold in tension that God is completely in control, ultimately, of everything, but our decisions really matter. And this may not feel, it probably isn't entirely logical, but I think it can work in practice. So if you're making a decision, and it's a big one, especially, think, pray, talk to other wise people, things we'll see in a moment. Look at scriptural principles. Try to make a good decision. But having made that decision, relax. The Lord is in control. Remember that if even the lot is in his control, that decision you're making and what comes from it, that's in his control. It's under his sovereign will. So next, point three, surrender outcomes to God. 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Or in another translation, it's your plans will succeed. And I think this means when we make plans, we should pray, we should ask God what we should do. We should yield our plans to God, saying, "Lord, as you will." But I think it means more than that. I think it goes to something deeper, something fuller than that. And I think it means committing to the Lord not only that immediate plan that I've got, but committing my whole self and my whole life to God, yielding that to him, yielding the outcomes to him, saying, "Lord, as you will, what you will, when you will, how you will." Here's a poem which I think gets the spirit of that verse, of this verse, committing your way to the Lord. "It may be thou will grant me peace, with joys untold my pathway fill, and I will laugh with gladdened heart and sing. But if not, I will love thee still. It may be I shall feel thy arms beneath in times of loneliness when joys seem past. But if not, I will hold thee fast. It may be I shall see thy plan unfold and know the path on which my feet are set and go forth confident with loving hope. But if not, I will trust thee yet. And through, as it were, the word commit means to roll onto, to lean your weight upon, and to, as it were, roll your life onto the Lord like that, saying, Lord, I'm in your hands, it's up to you. What happens is we develop a heart of wisdom that will help us to make the kind of decisions which will succeed and God will establish. So commit your life to the Lord. Moving down, just for our last 3 points, quite brief ones, but a bit more to the nitty-gritty of guidance. Plan for what the Bible says is good. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. Plan for what is good. And where do we find what is good? Well, the Christian will say we find what is good in the Holy Bible, in the Scriptures. We have the Ten Commandments, the two great commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, the epistles, as well as, of course, all the other scriptures. But so much guidance in these documents about what is good. We don't look principally to the world around us to tell us what is good and evil. We don't look to our own hearts. We don't look to what our friends say. We look to the scriptures, guided by what they say about what is good. And plan that. And it may seem so obvious that it doesn't need saying, but actually it's amazing how Christians sometimes can convince themselves that a certain path is right, even though it contradicts and goes against Scripture. Next, ask wise people for advice. Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. I was speaking this week to a lady from China, nobody in this church, and I said, it seems rather amazing that in China, you know, there was this zero COVID policy, and that went on for, nearly 3 years? And then just kind of suddenly, overnight, it's all been abandoned. Seems a bit of a strange decision. I mean, maybe the first one wasn't such a great decision, but to abandon it so quickly may seem a little bit rash. And she said, oh, well, that's because it's just one man making the decisions. Now, I don't know if that's right. I don't know about the internal politics of China, but I do know that the best decisions come out of taking advice, seeking counsel, seeking wisdom from others, and particularly Christian wisdom. And remember, the wisest people will sometimes not agree with you. So not just seeking advice from people you think will agree with you, but asking those who will question you. So ask for advice. And finally, observe signs with caution. Now, when I was new as a Christian, new in the Christian faith, I was taught about guidance. And I was taught that what you should look for with any decision is scriptural principles, first, obviously. Then God-directed circumstances, and then inward assurance. So what would that look like? Well, imagine that you're offered a job, and you're thinking, well, should I take that job? Scriptural principle: work is good. That this particular work I'd be doing, it's not being a bank robber. I'm not required to be fraudulent or anything like that. It's a good work. I mean, it's perfectly in line with Scripture, so that's okay. God-directed circumstances. Well, I had an extraordinarily coincidental conversation which led me to apply for it. I've got a couple of friends there who will recommend me. There's a small group of Christians meeting there on a Wednesday lunchtime. I could join in with them. The commute would be much easier. So circumstances make it look as though that would be a good move. And inward assurance. I just have a sense of peace and calm that this would be a good move. And so I follow those those signs. Now, I think we've got to be very cautious here. Something may be right, even if I don't have a feeling of assurance. Anxiety before a major life change is very common. For example, a couple engaged to be married, it's a pretty big step, and they can feel pretty anxious about it. They may not have much peace about it. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a wrong thing to go ahead with. Those who have lacked that feeling of peace have often gone on to have a very happy marriage. I spent the 9 months of my engagement mostly terrified. But I've now been happily married for 36 years. The feeling of terror was not a sign that this was not a good course of action. And something may be right even if circumstances make it look difficult. An obstacle may be the devil hindering it. It may be God testing us. Just because something is difficult, it doesn't mean to say we shouldn't do it. However, I think we can build an argument from the character of God that he will sometimes guide us through circumstances and feelings. We know he's in control of all circumstances. We've seen that from the verse about the lot. Our feelings are ultimately controlled by God. And we see that from this Proverb 21:1 about in the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels towards all who please him. And the heart is more than feelings, but it includes feelings. God is directing the feelings of the most powerful and most free person in that world. And God is compassionate towards his children. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And I think that in his compassion, sometimes, if God knows he's going to ask us to do something that is going to be painful, and it's going to be difficult, and there's going to be trouble, I think sometimes he gives us kind of extraordinary circumstances and a strong inner feeling to help us in those difficult times. Certainly I suppose two of my biggest life changes in my life, first of all, becoming rector of Fordham in Essex, then vicar of St. Simon's Zelotes here. Both of those appointments began with a kind of weirdly coincidental conversation. Nothing planned, out of the blue, a conversation I would never have expected to have in that particular circumstance. And I had an inner conviction that these were the right moves. And in both cases, this felt to me like this was God's confirmation of the decision, and in both cases, I did find that helpful. Inevitably, in any new post, there are challenges, there are things that, frankly, can feel like mountains to climb, and times of acute anxiety, and sometimes thinking, well, did I make the right decision? Was this a mistake? Some of you were here when I came, you're lovely people, I loved you, still do. It wasn't because of you, but just, wow, this seems difficult. And the fact that, I wasn't relying on those things, but the fact that they'd come about in such extraordinary ways was a help to me, thinking, yes, Lord, I believe you called me here. So however hard it is, you're in this, and we'll crack on. So I think as long as we have consulted Scripture, we've prayed, we've gone through those steps, we've asked wise advisors, if God gives us those indicators in strange circumstances, coincidences, that sort of thing, and a feeling of assurance, I think that we may look to those as a kind of confirmation of a decision. Now let me finish by saying this. I think Christians can get very uptight about this and anxious about guidance and think, oh, well, you know, I don't think I commit everything to God and I've made mistakes and that decision I can see now is partly influenced by sin in me. It's going to turn out badly. So let's put this whole topic as we finished it. We began by putting it in the context of what we call God's sovereignty. He's in control of everything. Let's finish by putting it in the context of the event that we will recall and remember in communion today, the cross. Paul the Apostle says, God, who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And what he's saying is, look, remember the God in whom we put ourselves, into whose hands we place ourselves, is the God who gave his son up for our sins. And he's saying, look, if God did that for you, which was immensely painful and difficult for him, will he not give you all things? Will he not give you all that is good for you? Yes, sad and bad things will happen to us. We live in a fallen world. Yes, difficult things will happen to us. We need God's discipline. Yes, we'll have disappointments. We need to be kind of taken away from our idols. But over the years, as I surrender myself to God, however imperfectly, even if I make foolish decisions, even if some of my decisions are in some way shaped by sin, I'm in the hands of the God who did not spare his son, but gave him up for me. And having done that, will he not cover the sin and give me all things? He will give us a daily portion of the comforts and crosses that we need. And at the end of life, if we continue committing ourselves to him, we will say, he has done all things well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise that in the end you are in control of everything. And you proved your love by giving your son for us, and therefore may we especially be those who commit all that we do, and not just what we do, all that we are, to you, that we might develop a heart of wisdom and see our plans established. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.